Talk today a little bit about the comparison of field decomposition of cover crops biomass. Basically, what we're looking at is trying to maintain soil quality, and that's basically a function of sustainable agriculture. And we're using cover crops as one of the most important components of sustainable agriculture. Cover crops provide organic matter, and they supply nitrogen to the succeeding crops. They also recycle subsoil nutrients, and they enhance soil quality. The field decomposition of cover crops residues store and recycle nutrients in the soil, and this is very important for growing agronomic crops. And we're using this in Ohio to look at these different cover crops and how we can come up with some better crop rotations and have a continuous living cover. There's something living and growing on the soil at all times during the year. The objective of this study was to compare the field decomposition of basically annual ryegrass, ARG, Australian winter pea, which we're designating AWP, coriander, cowpeas, which is CP, crimson clover, hairy vetch, HV, jumbo Latin clover, Sudan sorghum grass, which is SSG, spelts, SP, and red clover, RC, and white clover. Because we didn't have enough room, we're just going to concentrate on the ones that we abbreviated there. Materials and methods. The experiment was laid out in the field in a random block design, complete block design with three replications. Two meters by 5 meters. At their maximum vegetative growth, the cover crops were harvested from 1 meter by 1 meter subplots, and a portion of the cover crop samples were then oven dried at 55 degrees Celsius and analyzed for total carbon and nitrogen contents. This is basically how we did it. We took a 200 gram composite fresh above ground biomass. We did this in July from each replicated cover crop plot, and this was taken in four nylon mesh bags and placed in close contact with the soil. Then we took the mesh bags were collected from the field every 3 months. They were weighed and oven dried to calculate for the temporal loss of the residues. And basically, here's our results in our discussion. This is total carbon content for all the cover crops that we have there. You can see there's not a real large variation in the carbon content. But as we look at the nitrogen content, we see there is some variation, especially with some of the legumes, which are the Austrian winter pea and the cowpeas. The hairy vetch, and the red clover. Then as we look at this biomass carbon to nitrogen ratio, we can see that there's some considerable difference, especially the grasses all tend to have higher carbon to nitrogen ratios, but you can see there the annual ryegrass is somewhat in between, and that's important when we look at the decomposition. Most of the legumes there on the left-hand side are relatively right around 20, a carbon ratio of 20. And here's the legumes, and we can see that there's not a lot of difference there. There is a little bit of difference, but not a lot. When we start to look here at the grasses, the annual ryegrass is on the top there, and this is the cumulative decomposition, the percent, how it decomposes, and you can see that it decomposes a little quicker than the other ones, and again, that goes back to the carbon to nitrogen ratio. Here is the decomposition percentage by the type of cover crops, and we basically did this, so you can see July through September, October and December, January through March, and April through June. And we use this to rank the cover crops. Obviously, these cover crops are going to be used in the field at different times of the year, But we're using this just as a ranking system. And again, we would have to repeat this study if we were going to do this in the field, especially with annual ryegrass and some of the grasses which we would plant in the fall. And then probably we would kill those in the spring, early in the spring. Here's the decomposition of just three of the cover crops, especially the grasses. We have annual ryegrass there, the spelts, and the sorghum sedan grass. And again, the sorghum sedan grass and the spelts have a much higher carbon to nitrogen ratio, so they do not decompose nearly as quickly as the other ones. And this basically goes back to this CN ratio of the organic residues. As a rule of thumb, when the C to N ratio is greater than 20:1, the ammonium ion is immobilized. When we have a CN ratio less than 20:1, the ammonium ion is mineralized. And basically what this does is it goes back to the microbes in the soil and how the microbes are using this. And we have a graph here that pretty well explains, kind of gives you an idea of what's going on. This is a breakdown of cover crop organic residues, the addition of rye residues, and both immobilization and mineralization of N and the evolution of carbon dioxide. And you can see when we first start out, the nitrate levels in the soil start to drop. And this is basically when the microbes, especially the bacteria and the other microbes are starting to break down that residue. And then we have this evolution of carbon dioxide going on. And then later on, what we see is we reach a new nitrate level. And this is basically the protozoa and the nematodes that are starting to break down this nitrogen. So one of the important things is we're also looking at bacteria and fungus. Bacteria are not as efficient at using they give a lot more carbon off, so we don't have near as much of that organic residue is going to long-term soil organic matter. So conclusions, on average, a significant greater decomposition of residues was found for winter peas. It was greater than 89%, and lower decomposition rates for spelts and Sudan grass, 46% residues. Within the first 3 months, we had significantly greater decomposition was found for clover, peas, cow peas, hairy vetch, than for ryegrass, coriander, spelts, and Sudan sorghum grass residues, respectively. However, net differences in the residue decomposition between the 3 and 6 months was higher for the coriander and the clover than for spelts and Sudan sorghum grass, cow peas, hairy vetch, and the winter pea residues that were all significantly higher than this Sudan sorghum grass. On average, we had a significant greater decomposition of residues was found for the winter peas. That must have slipped in there. I think I hit the wrong button here. So. Net differences in the residue between the 3 and 6 months was higher for the coriander and clover than it was for spelts and the Sudan sorghum grass. And the winter peas residues were significantly higher than the Sudan grass. Net difference in residue decomposition between the 6 and 9 months was the highest for ryegrass and the lowest for clover. And on average, what we found was the legume cover crops had a much faster and higher decomposition rate than the grasses that were used as cover crops. These results basically suggest that field composition of cover crops residues depends very highly on the C to N ratio, soil temperature, and the amount of rainfall that we were getting. In the future, we're using this information. We're doing research on manure and cover crops and how we can use these cover crops in a no-till system to make the no-till system work much better. So, take any questions that anyone might have. It was basically put on the surface because we were looking at a no-till system. So we left it on the surface and then collected those.
Yes, sir.
Yes. We tried to, there was probably some, a little bit of variation in that, but we tried to get it as close as we could, because you're basically taking the same residue. When we took these, the initial residue that we took was all from the same, it was all fresh residue that was taken. That's really the difference, and then that is a critical, how much moisture you're going to have there. And it's also going to be very critical the time of year. You know, if you're going to do these at different times, and that's what makes this a little bit difficult, is all these different environmental factors can really have a really change the decomposition rate. So our purpose on this one was just to rank them to find out which ones would decompose the most. Then we're going to take this same information and use it in our longer term studies to give us an idea, gives us a good idea of where we can go from here, which ones we can use. I'll give you a quick example. We're using winter rye and annual ryegrass. We're following that after soybeans. We're letting that get a little bit taller because it has a higher carbon to nitrogen ratio. It doesn't affect the soybeans at all, and it'll build soil organic matter. When we go to the following year, then we'll plant a legume crop because corn will follow that, and that will have a much lower carbon to nitrogen ratio, and it'll benefit the corn. So that's how we're trying to use these in a rotational type system. Coriander is probably not one. It's one that we've got about 36 different cover crops that we were looking at, and right now we're really not specializing on it. We just threw some out there to see what's, you know, we're looking at a bunch of different ones. I don't see a big benefit to coriander at this time. We're pretty much concentrating on the ones that are at the high end and the low end, and that one falls, you know, somewhat in the middle. Now, it might be good for if you wanted long-term soil organic matter. That would be a benefit because it does have a little higher carbon nitrogen ratio, so it might be some. And it is important. Some of the things that we're looking at a lot of active carbon, and the things that have a little bit higher carbon nitrogen ratios will help us build soil organic matter, where the other ones will actually probably decompose very quickly in the soil, and we're going to lose the benefits from them.
Thank you.